Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, April 5th, RIP to the Detroit Pistons 2017-18 season. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer out in Chicago, covering the NBA, been a Pistons follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter across the country for over a decade now. Today we're going to be recapping the 115-108 loss to the Philadelphia 76ers, which drove the knife and then turned it sideways into the seasons. The Pistons' playoff hopes are now gone, and the Milwaukee Bucks have clinched the eighth and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. But we're also going to be talking about what's left to play for in these final four games for the Pistons this season and what to watch for as the team will close out the rest of the games. And we're also going to be telling you about the players drafted by the Pistons GT esports team. On Wednesday during the draft, we talked to Adam Rubin and Mike Dene of the Pistons in Tuesday's podcast, and they made their selections in New York on Wednesday. We're going to be telling you all about those six guys that are now part of the organization as the NBA 2K League starts this summer for the first time in its existence. But the Pistons lose 115-108 to the Philadelphia 76ers, who picked up their 12th straight win, snapping Detroit's five-game winning streak. Philly is a team that is clicking on all cylinders heading into the Eastern Conference playoffs, even without their best player, Joel Embiid, for the last couple. He will be out until the playoffs after he had a face surgery. This was the fourth game in a row he missed. But even without Embiid, what a player Ben Simmons is, the rookie point guard, possible rookie of the year. Not sure where I stood on the Donovan Mitchell versus Ben Simmons debate. Early on, I thought it was clearly Ben Simmons, but Mitchell was so great as the Jazz surged in the second half, led the team in scoring with 20 points a game. Although that big run that the Jazz made, you have to give the first credit to the defensive play as Rudy Gobert returned from injury and did a lot of that as far as turning the Jazz around. There has been some talk, and maybe it's mostly tongue-in-cheek, about penalizing Ben Simmons because he was in the league last year. Obviously, this is his rookie season, but he didn't play, but he traveled with as he broke his foot for the 76ers last year. If anyone thinks that's a real consideration in the Rookie of the Year vote, that's a dumb thought. You should not listen to those people. But at the end of the day, I looked at the numbers. I have pored over a little bit tonight. I'm going to go with Ben Simmons if I had a Rookie of the Year vote, which I certainly do not. But obviously, Mitchell and Simmons, two fantastic choices for Rookie of the Year. Look back at some of the lists of the recent Rookie of the Years. Karl Anthony Towns 2 years ago was a really good one. Brogdon was the choice last year, obviously a down year for the rookies last season. But Karl Anthony Towns 2 years ago was obviously a very good rookie. Dame Lillard a few years back is one that stands out. Kyrie Irving in 2011 and 2012. But as far as Simmons and Mitchell, I think they're better, more of an impact maybe than Towns had, especially because we're talking about two guys that might be playing in the playoffs this year. I'm going to go back to Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell being the best two rookies in the NBA since Blake Griffin in 2010-2011. And coincidentally, Griffin has a lot in common with Ben Simmons as he also missed his first year after being drafted number one by the Clippers in 2009. So he came back in 2010 and 11 and had an outstanding season for the Clippers, kind of helping to turn that franchise around. And now who does he play for? He plays for the Pistons, in case you didn't know. But on Wednesday night, the 76ers ran away with a big surge at the end of the first quarter with Henry Ellenson out there trying to play defense for a big chunk of it. J.J. Redick, 25 points to lead the way for the 76ers. Him and Marco Bellinelli were running around screens and making things tough for the Detroit defense. For the Pistons, 25 points for Anthony Tolliver, 7 of 8 from three-point land, driving that free agency price up. An interesting decision for the Pistons this offseason, and also for Anthony Tolliver, as the team has limited cap space and resources. You think that they might need some kind of roster shakeup after this year's disappointing season, but obviously, if you're looking to cast blame on the season and things you can do to ramp up this team going forward, AT is probably not one of the first several places you'd look in terms of reasons the Pistons weren't very good this year. In case it'd be much the opposite, he stepped up and was better than you might think or you might have thought coming into the season as a bench player and a bench contributor for the Pistons. But with Ellenson, You should have an obvious suitor for his minutes if Anthony Tolliver does walk away. And so Ellenson should be able to step up. But then with the wasted season that they had for Ellenson, he might be closer to being out of the league completely than being a consistent rotation contributor for the Pistons or any team right now. It's pretty bleak for the Henry Ellenson outlook right now. And I know he's very young, younger than Luke Kennard even. And we'll talk plenty about Henry Ellenson this offseason. But for all the Stan Van Gundy questions out there about his time as president, about the development, about the rotations this year, whatever the problem is or was with Henry Ellenson, the blame obviously falls on Stan Van Gundy one way or another. Maybe the team president, maybe the coach, maybe the coach in charge of development, the coach in charge of game day decisions, whatever it is. That falls squarely on Stan Van Gundy, a black eye for sure right now. A guy who's kind of not a black eye as he was maybe a little bit last year, Stanley Johnson. 19 points on Wednesday, looked aggressive, looked good, but he's going to be another burning offseason question as up until October 31st, Stanley can sign his extension going forward. He's in 3 years into the league right now, and so that'll be a big topic for the summer for the Pistons. Showed enough defensively, obviously, and even offensively in the second half of the year to give a nice glimpse of his future. If Stan Van Gundy thinks that, or whoever's in charge of the Pistons roster and personnel decisions this summer, I shouldn't jump at Stan Van Gundy being the one to make those choices. But if the Pistons think he's prime for a breakout next season, maybe they lock him up now before the price gets even bigger. They do have him locked up for a fourth year next year. And if they don't sign, he could become a restricted free agent after next season, and then you've got the qualifying offer possibility for one more season after that, and he could sign that possibly if he bets on himself like Greg Monroe did a few years back. So all sorts of fun ahead with Pistons roster decisions and thinking about the future, thinking about the salary cap, all that stuff. But for now, Pistons 37-41 with four games to go, so they could win out to possibly finish 500. The rest of the season goes like this. Home for Dallas on Friday, at Memphis on Sunday afternoon, then closing up Little Caesars Arena with the home finale on Monday against the Toronto Raptors, and then here in Chicago at a game I'll be at against the Bulls on Wednesday night. But we're going to be talking about what is left for the Pistons to play for in these last four games. Pretty much nothing, but what are the things that we might be watching as fans the rest of the way? But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then sponsor Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
For you Pistons GT fans, or maybe prospective Pistons GT fans, we're going to be talking about the six newest members of the Detroit Pistons family, those Pistons GT players who will be playing in the NBA 2K League's first season in Detroit. The draft was Wednesday. We're going to be talking about those guys a little bit later. But as for the NBA's Detroit Pistons, not much to watch for these last four games, not going to lie to you, but here's some three things to watch for the rest of the season. We talked about him a little bit earlier. Henry Ellenson. It's almost like a tradition now for the end of the season when the Pistons are out. Now they can start playing Henry Ellenson just like they did last year. He should get major minutes in these last four games, no doubt about that. You might as well sit a guy like Anthony Tolliver down, say, great season, big fella, and take the rest of the week off. No real reason for AT to get big minutes the rest of the way. Throw him out there. See what Ellenson can do. Put him up against guys like Dirk or Harrison Barnes. If either of those guys play on Friday, they both sat out on Wednesday's game for tanking reasons for the Dallas Mavericks. Or throw Ellenson up against Serge Ibaka on Monday for Toronto, or up against Lauri Markkanen on Wednesday for the Chicago Bulls. Throw him in the fire. Go him up against those guys. See what you've got. Run plays for him. Get him the ball offensively. See what you've got in Henry Ellenson, as it's been pretty much a wasted year. And maybe Stan Van Gundy can salvage a little bit of something here in these last four games. Also, maybe we can see some more of Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, and Andre Drummond. Blake, with the bone bruise in the ankle right now, has been out for the last few, but he could be back for Friday, according to Rod Beard in the Detroit News before the game on Wednesday that eliminated the Pistons from playoff contention. I'm kind of torn on that one as far as Griffin coming back this year. Of course, because of his injury history, you might not risk it. But more chances for him and Reggie and Andre to play together could be beneficial. But if you can't play an NBA player for fear of injuries that aren't already there, then maybe you've got bigger problems. And of course, as Stan Van Gundy said before the game on Wednesday, you don't want to do anything stupid. If Blake Griffin's not ready to go, then certainly you wouldn't play him. But you might as well get him out there if he's ready. And obviously, if you're a Pistons fan listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast right now, maybe you want to record this part of the episode and throw it in my face when he blows his knee out next week against Chicago in the last game of the season or something like that. But if you're looking at next season, you've got Blake and Reggie and Andre committed to big contracts, to big dollar figures. Got to get those three as much court time together as possible. It's not going to be super intense games, I would think, for these next four, but get them out there, run some offense, see if they can develop a little bit of chemistry as a threesome out there as well. And the third thing to watch for the rest of the season is some numeric anomalies for the Pistons. Reggie Bullock is fourth in the NBA in three-point percentage. He'll need some huge games if you want to catch up to Darren Collison, who's got a little bit of separation between him in first and second place there, but it's really tight with that second, third, and fourth. Maybe Bullock, if he shoots his way into maybe number two in the NBA in three-point percentage, or even possibly number one if Collison can maybe go cold a little bit as well. Andre Drummond looks like he's going to win the rebounding title. He's averaging 16 rebounds per game. DeAndre Jordan's at 15.4, so he'll need some big numbers to compete. Throw the big man out there and see if he can wrap up his rebounding title. The Clippers are still playing for their playoff lives, so they'll be playing out DeAndre Jordan big minutes. Obviously, he'll put up some big numbers in the rebounding column, you got to believe, but we'll see if Drummond can kind of make sure he keeps the Clippers big man at bay there. As we mentioned earlier, 500 is still possible for the Pistons if they can get four straight wins, something to look out for there. And also draft position. Obviously, we know the Pistons have traded their first-round pick unless it gets into the top three. Actually, top four technically, but top three for all real purposes. The Pistons are pretty much locked in at number 12 for the draft lottery order with 2.5% chance of getting in the top three and 0.7% chance of getting the top overall pick based on that number 12 spot. However, if the LA Lakers somehow win out and the Pistons lose out, maybe the Pistons could go up to number 11 on that draft lottery order list, as Detroit leads the Lakers by three games, so they're behind them in draft position. So in short, not a whole lot to get excited about for these last four games for the Pistons, but there you have it. Those are some things to look out for. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, @_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed @LockedOnPistons. And also like us on Facebook, Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch. But up next, we're going to be talking about the guys that the Pistons GT drafted on Wednesday in the NBA 2K League Draft. Also, make sure to listen to Locked On Lions with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. Check that one out every day. We've got NBA podcasts for every team, NFL podcasts for every team, MLB coming for a lot of the teams in the network as well. The Locked On Network, your team every day. Detroit now has a professional esports team, and it all got started with a Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com Woj bombed the first pick of the NBA 2K League draft, and that was a pretty funny way to get it started, as just like he does for the real NBA draft. He gave away who was going to be the pick before it was announced on the Twitch live stream that was also carried on NBA TV as well. I watched the first bit of the draft on Twitch up until the Pistons G team picked with the fifth pick overall as the 17 teams divvied up the players. Commissioner Adam Silver was there and announced the first pick of the draft. But when it came to pick five, the Pistons GT selected Ramo Radončić of Brooklyn, New York. His gamer tag is Let's Get It Ramo. So I guess he's going to be the franchise player for the Pistons GT team. He's a power forward. His likeness, I guess, on the screen. And these a question that was raised to me after Tuesday's podcast. It's not that Ramo and these guys are going to be, you know, Andre Drummond or Blake Griffin in the NBA 2K League. And they're not going to be the players that they created. Also, you get kind of a generic player that you play as during the NBA 2K, and then if you're a power forward, you have the option of different types of power forwards to choose from, whether you're like a stretch four or a bruising power forward, or a shoot first point guard, or those kind of things. You get the choices of that, and those are the players that they played with during the qualifying. So it's kind of a generic looking player. It's not like Blake Griffin's out there and Ramo's going to play as him as power forward in those games. So that's kind of the explanation of how that goes. But Ramo Radončić is a power forward. Let's get it, Ramo. Brooklyn, New York. He was the first pick. Going down the list, in the second round, Pistons GT went with a small forward from Pennsylvania, Christopher Della Ciprete, and I know that's probably pronounced wrong. Christopher's got a D-E-L-L-A-R-C-I-P-R-E-T-E, but his gamer tag is Insanity, and he'll be the small forward for the team. The third round at shooting guard, number 39 overall, Pistons GT went with Rachelle Woods, and that's I-X Splash King X-I. He's from Tennessee. The center, number 64 overall in the fourth round, was Matthew Rux. Gamer tag Nene, he's from Illinois. At 73, the Pistons rounded off their starting lineup with a point guard in the fifth round, Frederick Mendoza. Gamer tag I'm So Far Ahead, he's from Virginia. And then with the sixth round pick, number 98 overall, the Pistons went with a second center. So just like the Pistons team with Drummond and Griffith, the NBA Pistons GT team of the NBA 2K League has two big men on there as well. Joseph Marrero is the second center. Joseph the Truth is his gamer tag, also from New York. So two New Yorkers, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Illinois, and Virginia. Interesting to see that the Pistons G team didn't really go with anyone from Michigan, and only one guy from Illinois being a Midwesterner. The games don't start until May. The team will be training and practicing at the Palace of Auburn Hills, as they got an office set up there for them. The games will all take place in New York. So every week they're going to fly out to New York and play against the 16 other teams. But this Friday they're going to be starting the NBA 2K League Draft Clash. It's not part of the season, but it's kind of their one of the three in-season tournaments they're going to do, as these guys can go win some cash as part of the prizes for these events. Not sure if Ramo is going to be involved in that, as it's only the 10 of the top draft picks are going to be in there. You'd think he would be as the number 5 pick, but I'm not sure. I'll pass that along when I do hear about that. So Friday is going to be a kickoff tournament where some of these guys can earn a little bit more dough. Although they're getting pretty well, you know, compensated, 6 months of work, and they're going to be making, you know, over $30,000 a piece this season. So interested to see how the inaugural season of the NBA 2K League Draft Clash works. And as we talked about with Adam Rubin and Mike Dene the other day, hopefully we can get at least Ramo or maybe one of these other guys on the podcast sometime soon to find out more about the life of some of these gamers. They're going to be representing Detroit in the coming weeks and months for the Pistons GT team. But give us a follow on all of our social media channels, and I appreciate you guys doing that. Get involved in the discussion on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matchup. Let me know what you think about the NBA 2K League. Are you going to get on Twitch? Are you going to watch some of these games? Or do you want me to talk about more about it? Or maybe even just bury it for the rest of the season? Let me know what you think. I'm interested to see how it goes, and if you guys respond to the coverage, or maybe we can pick up some new listeners from the Pistons GT team as time goes on. But tomorrow's podcast, we're going to be looking ahead to the weekend and games against the Dallas Mavericks at home on Friday night, and then at Memphis on Sunday afternoon, and closing out the season here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Might probably be the last Friday podcast that we have in a while, as we're going to cut down to four times a week going forward into the offseason. Although, obviously, there will be times when we do have a Friday podcast, and of course, anytime news breaks as far as maybe the coaching situation or a trade or anything like that happens, we'll be back on to drop an episode and talk to you guys about that. Looking forward to the offseason, actually. Looking forward to some different kind of content, some different kind of interviews. And drop me a line on email at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com if you have any ideas of things we can talk about or sponsor possibilities as well, as we look forward to the 2018-19 season. So, again, we're closing a little bit of a chapter today as the Pistons are officially outside of the playoffs, looking in going forward. But still, like I said, plenty of reasons to stay with us here on Locked On Pistons as we look ahead to the summer and look ahead to October for next season as well. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again very soon.